former wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
The guy's amazing.
1989 All-Madden team and afternoon co-host on ESPN Chicago.
I think he's going to start at least 8 games in the National Football League next year for a team that's going to give him a chance.
It's Waddle Wednesday with Tom Waddle.
Listen, I got a pedicure in an hour. When I get back here, the wheels better be spinning, all right?
On Cap and Jay, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Waddle Wednesday on the Cap and Jayhood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. And Tommy's on the hotline.
That'd be the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Good. What was that? Who was that?
Good, Tommy. Good. Thanks.
Yeah.
We'll jump right in and talk to you about just swallowing the conversation, just talking all over it to Tommy. Tommy, we want to get your thoughts. In your mind's eye, when it comes to the Bears' new stadium, did you envision it being in Arlington Heights, or did you envision a dome on the lakefront?
I always envisioned, when the conversation became something that was creeping towards reality, that it would be in Arlington Heights. Like, I was 100% convinced, because it made the most sense. Not only that, but if you go back to the genesis of their decision, you know, they put down, what, almost $200 million for that tract of land. And the Bears don't normally throw around $200 million lightly. So my thought was, is there's no doubt their intentions are pure and they're going to build here. And I got to tell you guys, I drove by that, you know, that area the other day, and it is just a magnificent piece of land where you could build a paradise unlike anything else. And I've always been an advocate of it. So, Jonathan, I was 100% sold that that's where they were going to be. But then when they hired Kevin Warren and you heard him talk and the sincerity in his voice, and if you've had an opportunity to talk with him, I don't believe, never have believed, he's playing poker. I think his 110% intent is to build this stadium on the lakefront. So I was 100% convinced, guys, that it was going to be in Arlington Heights. Now I'm 100% convinced, and have been for a while, that, you know, they're not playing. They're not playing this game of poker. This is where they want to be.
Yeah, and did you read the Tribune article yet this morning?
I think it came out. Did it come out last night?
Yeah.
About like how unlikely it is that downstate and Springfield, that they're going to okay any type of $2.3 billion public funding.
And that the Friends of the Parks are a real, real impediment to trying to get this done. So,
and as a Cook County person, I'm going to have to pick up half the tab if this goes through.
Yeah, you know, and Jonathan, look, I mean, I think that, and you could speak to this better than those of us who don't live in Cook County, but, like, you're not going to get a vote. What's going to end up happening is you can hold your representatives accountable, I guess, when the next election comes.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. Now, I think it may end up getting a referendum on the ballot.
All right. I was not aware of the political machinations of this, but it doesn't. I was not aware of whether or not when they decided to rehab Soldier Field, did that go up for a vote?
I don't believe that it did, but they just, Kansas City Royals and Chiefs tried to do the end around, and they said, nope. Sorry, it's 2023 was when the vote was, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they lost massively.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and that's the Chiefs.
My guess is, guys, is that if this was something that was voted on by, you know, by the people of Cook County or the people of Chicago, it wouldn't get passed. I'm, look, I think that if you lean on some of the economic reports and some of the smart people with regard to business, they will tell you it is virtually a 95 to 100% fallacy that public spending or the public economy is given a boost by these types of projects. That's always the promise that comes from the organizations. But the reality is, I don't think it really pays off, no pun intended, in the manner in which they intend. And the thing that caught my attention most, guys, of that article is there's still, when you combine the amount of public funding that was put into building Guaranteed Rate and the rehab of Soldier Field, there's still $630 million of debt on the books.
There's more now than when they did the deal.
Yeah, because my guess is that it's such an
interest-only loans don't work out well.
Not for projects this big. So, look, I love this team. I love this franchise. I have more excitement, enthusiasm, and optimism about them than I've had in maybe forever. But this one is a this one's going to be a tough sell, even with the organization pointed in the right direction. So we'll find out. I'm told I was up at Hallis Hall yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they always have a great event to recognize the Piccolo Award winners, a rookie and a veteran. And T.J. Edwards was a veteran, and Darnell Wright was the rookie. And it's a fabulous situation and program and whatever they do. The point I'm making is there was a lot of enthusiasm in that building from people that I know up there about what is going to be presented today. Now, I mean, look, I get it. Nobody's going to say, hey, we're going to put some crayon drawings out there and it's going to suck. No, I get it. I mean, they're trying to sell their own product. But there is some significant and I think sincere enthusiasm from some folks up there about that they think they got a winner here.
All right, let's talk on the field because that's what is going to grab center stage after today's news conference. It's Caleb Williams at 1. And then at 9, there's some smoke that the Bears, you know, Odunze's on the flight with Caleb, and they've been throwing footballs to each other. But there's also some smoke that Brock Bowers is a guy the Bears like a lot. How would you feel about Brock Bowers at 9?
It wouldn't be my first choice, but I'm going to ride. What's that?
Why?
Well, because you've spent significant resources on your tight end position. You've given Cole Kmet a contract extension. Gerald Everett was brought in here, not a ton of money.
But is he a tight end or more of a receiver?
No, he's a tight end. I mean, he can do some. He's probably a touch more athletic than. But don't make any mistake. He's not George Kittle. I mean, I don't think so.
Brock Bowers?
No. I'm saying Gerald Everett.
Got it, because Brock Bowers is a 4.48 40.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is you know, look, again, if they decide that's what they're going to do, I can make a case for you that you basically just play Brock Bowers as in a slot, and he's an oversized wide receiver who becomes a matchup nightmare with some folks. Like, he's a fabulous player, no question. But if it was up to me and there was if Roma Dunze was there, I'd take the wide receiver before I would take the tight end at this point.
By the way, Byron Murphy is the favorite at DraftKings and FanDuel to go 9. Byron really? Murphy.
Is he a true three technique?
Let me pull up the NFL.com.
I mean, I think he's being sold by that. Maybe Yurko would be the best guy to answer that question. I know he's kind of built, isn't he, like Aaron mm-hmm. Donald? I know it's you know sacrilegious to even bring up his name with anybody else. I think he's like 6'1", and he's under 300 pounds. I don't know. I mean, that was an interesting conversation that Ryan Poles had with everyone yesterday about the three technique. The guy inside's got a shorter path to the quarterback than the guy on the outside. I know how important the three technique is to Matt Eberflus's defense. So, look, I'm just hoping for a difference maker at 9. If they at this point, I'm in the trust tree. I got to say, like, whether it's valid or not, I think they've done a really nice job retooling this roster. They haven't all been hits, but I'm in the trust tree with them right now. I just want two guys. Obviously, we know what's happening at 1. I want someone at 9. That can step in and be a significant difference maker and also threaten, whether he's an offensive player or a defensive player, he's going to be high up on the list of guys getting votes for Rookie of the Year, much in the way the Houston Texans did last year when their two first-round draft picks won offense and defensive Rookie of the Year. I want guys that can make a difference.
Yeah, we've got to take our break with you, but his measurables in terms of size, he's 6 foot. And a half inch, yeah. 297,
yeah.
And he's projected to be a good starter within 2 years by NFL.com.
That doesn't light my candle, but, you know, look, what the hell do I know? I don't make it a habit of breaking down defensive linemen's play.
More with Waddle's Candle right around the corner on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's a Waddle Wednesday on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Tommy, if I told you Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Ryan Bates, Nate Davis, Darnell Wright, along with a sprinkle of others as part of this offensive line, are you good with that? Or would you like an upgrade?
I'd like an upgrade, but I'll live with it for the time being, Jonathan. My biggest concern is center, to be honest with you. Maybe it's just I'm scarred. Too many snaps to the shins of our young quarterbacks.
Yes.
You know, and guys just getting, you know, getting mauled at the line of scrimmage. I think quarterbacks, especially young guys, are more bothered by pressure that comes from right in front of their face than off the edge. And maybe Bates is the answer. God, I hope so. The kid they signed that started all, you know, 17 games for the Rams. I just think that position is really important. And maybe I'm overvaluing it, but I would like to see an upgrade there. But I thought Jeff Mellor made an interesting evaluation or comment, or just was a good conversation about how if Caleb Williams can step in and play the quarterback position with a little more feel than we've seen in recent years, maybe he can help out the performance of Braxton Jones. Doesn't mean it solves the problem, right? But it allows you to kind of get maybe a better evaluation of Braxton Jones if, in fact, the ball is coming out correctly, the protections are set correctly, and he's not being asked to do more than he's capable of doing. Again, I'm not suggesting it will make him an all-pro type of player, but I think it may give you a better feel for who he is. And then when you have, you know, a full complement of your draft picks in 2025, then maybe you can fill in some of those gaps. And look, these are big gaps because they're offensive linemen, but I'd be lying to you, Jonathan, if I said it was 100% secure. I love Tevin Jenkins when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what Nate Davis is going to bring consistently. There were times last year when he was fantastic, and there were other times where you just couldn't count on him. And as much as you like Darnell Wright, I think that you really learn more about a player in his second year than you do in his rookie season. So still have some questions for sure, but again, I would just caution people. This is not a finished product, and maybe I'll eat my words and they win the Super Bowl this year. But I would just say, look, they are headed in the right direction. They should be significantly better. You should have better quarterback play because of the infrastructure around him this year than we've seen the last few years. But I still look at this team and say there are still things that need to be done. And I know Ryan Poles said yesterday it's going to be hard to make this team. The roster is significantly better, but I still have a few worries.
There are a bunch of cool prop bets in Vegas for the draft. I'm going to ask you on what color is Caleb Williams' nail polish. Black is the overwhelming favorite.
Well, always.
Orange, white, pink, blue, green. I'm saying he's not going to have his nails painted. What do you say?
I don't care. I just want to get that out there. It's not a positive or a negative for me. You know, you be whoever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with navy blue. He's wearing a blue suit.
That's correct, with silver accents.
Yeah. Well, maybe the nails then will be silver. Maybe that will be the accent. But I would go probably with the, you know, navy blue.
And who will smile first, Belichick on the broadcast or Saban?
I think Saban. I think Saban's more naturally, you know, willing to smile.
He's the favorite. Saban is -150.
Yeah, and by the way, he quit on his own. Yeah, Bill was shown the door. So
yes, he was.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited for it. I was just talking to Shea at the break, though. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know this isn't going to excite Danny Zetterman. He's going to get pissed at me and say, this is content. It is content, but everything has a shelf life. I'm done. I'm ready for Thursday. I'm ready to see who they pick and move forward and stop all of the nonsense. Same way I was, you know, when I would say, God, I can't wait till they make this decision and move on from Justin. Not because I didn't like Justin, but it just felt like we needed the cathartic moment of moving forward. And people yelled at me, this is gold. This is manna from heaven. I was like, okay. You know, everything's got a shelf life. It's time. This pimple should be popped. Now.
Yes. And there's a show for that, by the way, on cable. The Pimple Popper.
That is such a gross concept. I can't even get myself to turn it on.
Me either.
A car crash.
Are you being serious?
Pimple Popper. No,
Dr.
Pimple Popper.
Oh, my God.
That's a thing.
Grossest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's funny you mentioned Justin Fields because we broke that news from Adam Schefter about how league sources don't expect the Steelers to pick up the $25 million fifth option of Justin Fields and water's wet.
I was just going to say, Jonathan, in the face of the sun is hot.
So it's all encompassing there. But You know, Tommy, it's up to Justin to change the narrative so he does not on the Trubisky train or just be just some veteran quarterback that's out there. It's up to him. Once if he gets the opportunity, when he gets the opportunity with the Steelers, he can change his own fortunes. It's up to him.
Yeah. I think that, you know, we forget these guys are professionals. And like, look, I think we all agree universally he was dealt a bad hand. The infrastructure for Caleb Williams is going to be 10 times better than it was for Justin Fields. But at the same time, despite everything not being perfect for him inside that huddle, there were moments when he could have elevated those around him with lesser talent. That's the nature of the beast at that position. It's the most important, most influential position in all of professional sports. So I wish him all the best. I have not heard one single bad word about that young man on or off the field. Like, we can evaluate his performance. We can be critical. I have no personal criticism of him. I've heard nothing but great things about him, people that have been around him. I wish him well. He just was not good enough, consistently enough, albeit a difficult situation here. But yes, when he gets that opportunity, and some would believe he's in a better situation in Pittsburgh, you're right, Jonathan. He has to perform like the player that many thought he could be here in Chicago. So he has to assume some of the responsibility for the arc of his career. You can't blame it all on circumstance.
Tommy, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow out at Soldier Field. It should be a magical freaking night.
Yes, it'll be fun. It's time, but it'll be a great time tomorrow. There's no doubt about that.
Let's go.
See you, fellas.